Welcome to Oilfield Talk. My name is Trey Fought, and I'm host of Oilfield Talk Podcast. We want to speak with workers from all other aspects of the oil and gas industry and allow them the outlet to tell some crazy, amazing stories you just wouldn't believe are true. Not just the wildcats, the drillers, the roughnecks, the roustabouts, but the land-based, offshore drilling operations, service companies, vendors, third-party personnel, production, transportation, all aspects of the industry that provide expertise throughout the oil field. But each of these have many, many hilarious stories to share about their time in the oil patch. I have no doubt that we will be able to share entertaining stories or tell tall tales that anyone who works in the industry will appreciate and get a hearty laugh while listening. But this is also going to be a family podcast. We'll be able to invite our families at home to listen. Although they won't believe half the stories we share, they may have a couple of dozen questions. Maybe it will give them and everyone a greater appreciation of the jobs we have in the oil field and why we enjoy our oil field family for half a year. So please take an hour or so out of your day. Give a listen to the Oilfield Talk podcast. Hope you enjoy the stories as much as I enjoy bringing them to you.
All right. So my name's Trey Fought. F is in Frank. F-A-U-G-H-T.
And T-R-A-E, right?
T-R-A-E. Yeah, my mom was special. Or okay. Maybe I was special.
And you're from Houma?
I'm actually from Gonzales, Louisiana, which is between Baton Rouge and New Orleans.
Okay. Kelly had said Houma, and I said, I know Houma.
I fly in and out of Houma. That's where the heliport is, where we go offshore.
Okay.
So right now I'm working offshore in the Gulf of Mexico on a drill ship that's contracted to...
And are you exploring or...
No, I don't really get into the business side as far as my podcast goes. Mm-hmm. We're just a drilling contractor. So I work for the company that I work for. And we just do the... If they draw an X on the ocean floor, we drill a hole for them.
So your company comes in and sinks the well, and then another company comes in and erects the platform and the derricks and everything, actually extracts the oil, or?
Yeah, I mean, we can talk all about offshore oil and gas as far as how they do that. There's so many variations.
Yeah. And I don't know that we need to really go into the offshore process.
Right.
Because people around here are going to understand probably the basics of it, because from land-based drilling and I'm more interested in looking at this as a personality profile on you.
Okay.
So how long have you been in the industry?
26 years. I've been with, been offshore all around the world. I've worked in Russia, Australia, Brazil, North Sea, Egypt, just a lot of places around the world.
And I mean, what do you do on the ship?
I'm a safety man. So I'm a paramedic by trade, got hired onto the company, and they needed safety people who had medical backgrounds. Mm-hmm. 'Cause at the time we did both. Somebody got hurt, we treat them. Safety's the primary job.
Okay. So how did you get into the industry?
By accident, as most of us do. I don't think anybody wakes up one morning and says, I'm going to go be an oil field hand. But it ends up, you know, a friend said, you need a job, you know, call this guy. And that's exactly what I did. I was actually on my way to work for a shipyard, saw a wreck in front of me, like it happened right in front of me, and I'm a paramedic. So I got out, was taking care of the lady. And when the fire truck got there, my buddy, who's also a paramedic, gets on the fire truck, because we do both. I'm also a fireman. Mm-hmm. So he gets off the truck. He's like, what you got? And I tell him, we get her stabilized, waiting on the ambulance. He said, what are you doing now? I told him. He said, call this guy. The rest is history. 1997, I went offshore in the Gulf of Mexico.
77, you said?
No, 97.
97.
I'm not that old, am I?
I'm that old.
I remember 77, but I definitely wasn't on a drill rig.
So what brought you to Southeast New Mexico this week?
I have an oil field podcast. The name of it's Oil Field Talk. And I met Miss Monica in Midland, Texas, for an oil and gas hiring event.
Monica?
Cervantes. She's actually an instructor here at the junior college, as well as a lot of other things.
Do you know what she teaches?
Right now, she's teaching an OSHA 10, but she teaches a lot of different courses.
Okay.
She'll be happy to talk to you. She liked the podcast. I interviewed her. If you go on to the website or listen any of the podcast apps and look up Oilfield Talk, you'll find the episode with Miss Monica in it. And that was in Midland, Texas. So she interviewed, really liked the idea, and she's been very helpful in promoting it, encouraging it. And she said she's teaching a couple of classes. There's some other things going on in Hobbs. I need to come out. So I drove about 16 hours, pulled into Hobbs at 7 o'clock last night. I definitely talk faster than you can write. I know.
That's okay.
That's my fault.
That's what this thing's for.
Yep. And your name is, I'm sorry, I missed it.
Andy Brozek.
Andy Brozek. And you're with the Hobbs
News Sun.
Hobbs News Sun. That's a newspaper?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. So just for my audio, I guess, the director here at the community college, I met him this morning. This is Mr. Tyler. I've got his card laying around here somewhere. Yeah, Kelly. I'm sorry, Mr. Kelly. He called you, I think, and said, hey, you're not going to believe this. And this guy drove halfway across, you know, come over here. And yeah, I'm just trying to promote the podcast. I'm trying to record people. What I'm looking for is personal experience. I want the personal side of what you do, how you do it, crazy things you've seen, funny stuff that's happened. You know, we all sit around a smoke shack or in the bar telling crazy stories. That's what I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
The experience, the camaraderie, the family feel of going out and being on a rig or on a crew. It's unlike any other, you know, profession. People outside the oil and gas just can't quite understand, but those inside do.
And you said you started this podcast last August?
In August, yeah. So in December of 22, I got the idea. And in January, I had an enclosed trailer at my house I hadn't used. I gutted it, built a podcast studio inside of a closed trailer. So it's a mobile podcast. I can go anywhere with it, set up and record people.
You have it here with you today?
I do not, unfortunately. I can give you pictures if you'd like. I was driving a deadhead over here in a short amount of time. Just didn't need the drag and didn't need the 10 miles to the gallon. The trailer pulls. It's a good trailer. I pulled it out here last time.
Mm-hmm.
Quite seriously, I found out about this on Friday at 10:30 at night. And Monica asked me, and I'm offshore. I'm in the Gulf of Mexico. I'm on a drill ship, 150, 200 miles offshore. 10:30 Friday night, she says, can you be in Hobbs, New Mexico on Tuesday? I said, I'm at work until Wednesday. I said, but I'll see what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, my relief actually owed me some time because she had a family emergency. I went out early for her. I called her or I sent her a text message and asked her, and she said, I'll be there Monday. So I got off the rig Monday at 11 o'clock. I flew to Houma, Louisiana.
11 a.m.?
Yeah. Takes me, call it 2 hours to get home. Packed my stuff, literally just threw everything in a bag. I'd been working nights. So at that point, when I got home, I'd been awake for 26 hours. Got a few hour nap and headed out yesterday morning at 5 o'clock. So I've like been on the go for the last 36 hours, just nonstop to get here.
And have you had a chance to interview any folks yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. Monica introduced me to the class, has introduced me to a couple of, you know, the instructors here at the school. You know, everybody's busy right now. Everybody's teaching classes and doing things. Mm-hmm. I'm just observing, watching. I like sitting in on other instructors teaching content that I actually teach, because that's what I do. I mean, the safety guy is not the safety police, in my opinion, not if he's doing it correct. Safety guy teaches people how to work safe. But I'm here for the podcast.
I think you said a moment ago, this is not your first trip to Hobbs.
It is my first trip to Hobbs.
Oh, okay.
My I went to Midland.
Okay.
So I drove out here to Midland. Oh, when was that? October, I think. I think it was in October. Dates on the podcast, actually.
Yeah, you were interviewing guys down there, and
they have a hiring event. Rig Zone. Rig Zone is a, I don't know. Do you know what Rig Zone is?
I've heard of it.
So Rig Zone's a web page that is all about oil field, and they have hiring events. That was a hiring event for Rig Zone. I drove out to basically just interview people that were looking for jobs. Walk around like a cub reporter and, you know, hold a microphone out. Actually, if you just stand there with a microphone, it's amazing how many people just walk right up.
Yeah.
You do it. What do you do? So you don't have to be nosy. You just let them be nosy.
What are some of the crazy stories you've heard on this?
So my favorite so far is a gentleman, and you can get all of this information on the website. You don't have to write every word down. You can go to the website. You can go to the any of the podcast apps. Mm-hmm. All that information is there because I type up a little blurb. But basically, this gentleman, Kerry Crutcher, he's 88 years old. He lives in Sealy, Texas. And he was introduced to me through Dan Morrison, which is the other gentleman that's standing there. They're friends. And Mr. Crutcher started in the oil field when he was 14 years old. And him and his company invented the automatic pipe welding machine back in the 50s. Or I guess that would have been 60s, I think. Revolutionized pipe laying. He owned wireline companies. He had all these different... He claims to have had more cattle than the King Ranch at one time. That's how big this guy got, right? And the stories he has to tell are just unbelievable. President of the United States gave him a call one day. That story's on the podcast. Mm-hmm. The King of Saudi Arabia cussed him out because, not because, but that's just the access. He was big. To listen to his stories just blew me away.
But your podcast isn't about just those big guys.
No, no, no.
You're looking for the average Joe in the field. Right?
Anybody that's ever worked in the oil field for one day or 40 years, I'll interview them. Irvin Guidry was in the oil field for 50 years. Justin Eckard, which was the one just before his podcast, is trying to get into the oil field. He hasn't even stepped in yet.
Mm-hmm.
I recorded him. Doesn't matter what you do in the oil field. You can be a welder. You can be a driller. You can be a roughneck.
Mm-hmm.
I just want your stories. Sit around telling tales. You can even stretch the imagination a little bit. I don't care. Ultimately, I want this podcast for people to listen to and enjoy hearing similar people talk about our industry. I've never worked land base. This is all new to me.
Mm-hmm.
But we're all oil field trash. I mean, we're just all working in the same industry.
Are you focusing this mainly at oil field folks, or what would someone who's never worked in the oil field, is there anything that would interest them?
If they want to hear stories about the oil field,
mm-hmm.
I don't promote any particular person, brand, company, or anything mm-hmm. like that. I go to the hiring events and talk to people that want to get into the industry. If they have a question I can answer, or if not, I'll point them in a general direction. This is really focused at people that are working in the industry or have worked.
Mm-hmm.
I really want their stories.
Well, I'm not so much about who you're talking to.
Audience.
And don't take this the wrong, for your audience.
Mm-hmm.
And don't take this as the wrong way. But I mean, would the average Joe at the bank or at the cafe or working out here, not in oil and gas, what would they find interesting about this?
One of the neatest comments soon after I started this, a friend of mine from high school sent me a very personal message, and she said, thank you for sharing those stories. She was raised in an oil field family. Her dad worked offshore in the Gulf of Mexico. This is back in the 80s. She could not understand as a kid why her dad would leave. I mean, as a young child, understandable. Unfortunately, he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
She never understood why he would do that. So there was a little animosity or a little, you know, I'm not going to say anger, but you know what I mean? She had these feelings about why would he abandon the family all that time when she was a kid. Now she understands the family side. That's another thing. I'll interview wives, family members. I want anybody that has to do with the oil field. So you're asking who would listen? I'm hoping anybody that has family members in the oil field can't understand or might want to know, what in the world do they do out there? We can talk drilling theory all day long. Really, it's about friendship, you know, the camaraderie you build together. That's why you go back to work.
Okay. Where do you want this to go? Where do you see this? I mean, you see yourself still doing this podcast in 5 years?
I hope I'm doing it for another 20 years. This podcast, I want to grow to an audience that will tell me what they want. But at the end of the day, just capturing those stories for posterity's sake, we're losing so many of those stories nowadays with the internet and with the iPhones. People are not, they're not sitting around and talking anymore. When they take a 15-minute break, they're looking at their phone. They're not telling those stories. They're not passing that history. We learned a lot talking to the old folks, you know, back in the day. And if you're not talking to them and listening to them, how else are you going to get it? That's another portion that I want Oilfield to listen to so they can hear some of these. That's why that works this way.
Okay. Let me turn this around on you. What's your craziest story?
All right. Let's see. I'm trying to think of one.
Sauce for the goose, right?
Yep. No, no. I'm trying to think of one I haven't told yet on my podcast because I don't really want to tell all of my stories. But for you, let me think. All right. This is just my, well, no, that one won't work. This is a family podcast and a family newspaper.
Yeah.
Actually, small world story. You know what those are? So small world story. I was working in Russia, Sakhalin Island. I've actually told this one on the podcast. I just love small world stories. I'm standing on the beach in Sakhalin Island. It takes 5 days to get there. Seriously, planes, trains, and automobiles. Cars pulling into the camp. Guy gets out. Where are you from? Louisiana. Me too. What part? Baton Rouge. Wow, me too. Well, not really Baton Rouge. Just south of Baton Rouge, Gonzales. Me too.
Oh, wow.
Right? Well, not in the city limits. You know, I'm just outside. I'm in a little township called Galvez. Me too. And he said, you know where Bayou Narcisse is? I said, yep. He said, second trailer on the right. And I could just about hit a golf ball to his house. And we met literally halfway around the world, didn't know each other. Met on a beach in Russia.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you can't make that stuff up, you know? Well, I guess you could.
Yeah.
You got to have an element of imagination. And I'm not that good. I love the fact that two people literally a half a mile apart can meet in the oil field halfway around the world.
Anything else?
Tell me your craziest story. So you interviewed oil field. You've been out here in the oil field.
I've been out here about 3.5 years.
Okay.
Craziest thing I've ever covered, which is kind of the craziest story.
Sure.
I was in Piney Woods of East Texas in Nacogdoches County when Columbia exploded overhead.
Oh,
when the space shuttle exploded overhead. And literally had debris in my backyard.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was chasing. We chased that around for 6 weeks between when it fell in February and what they call green up in East Texas is when all the undergrowth starts to grow.
Yep. At that point, you can't see anything.
No, you couldn't find a Chevy.
All right. No, no.
The Piney Woods.
I know. I'm from over there. I was born in Shreveport.
Okay. So, yeah. So, you know the Piney Woods.
I know East Texas very well.
Yeah. But that was the longest 6 weeks of my life. I mean, literally day after day after day after day, 7 days a week, 4, maybe 5 hours of sleep if I was lucky.
Right.
And then back out chasing search parties and people finding debris and came to be the next spring, next end of winter, before spring really set in, before green up again. No, I'm sorry. It was in the summer. It was in that next summer because we were entering a drought and the lake, which was the main source of water for the town,
had drained down so far. They found one a piece that they had been looking for that had been underwater for a year and a half.
Wow!
It was one of the coolant tanks.
Mm-hmm.
That they said, "Well, where the hell did this thing go? Where did this thing go?" And it was out in the middle of the lake, and the lake had come down far enough. And at the same time, they found a car with two bodies in it.
Mm.
30 feet, 40 feet away.
Right.
Just right off the boat ramp.
Wow.
And yeah, all the stuff that popped up in that lake during that trip was just like.
They've had the same thing out of Lake Mead out there in Nevada.
Oh, yeah.
You know, everything goes down, and the next thing you're finding barrels full of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I've got a website.
Yeah, I'm seeing that.
Yep.
Can I take one of these?
They're yours.
Oh, okay. Gonna, sweet.
Yeah, those are for you, and I figured one for your buddy, your editor or whoever.
Okay. He's just a reporter.
He's a reporter. Okay.
Yeah. We have an editor, and then I'm the senior reporter.
Okay.
But yeah, and we'll list the website of the story of my boss.
But I'll
get away with it this time.
Sure. No, this time?
Yeah. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't.
Make sure they understand that the podcast is available on all the major podcast platforms.
Mm-hmm. And via the website?
And the website. Okay. Yep. You can listen to it directly on the website. If a lot of people are like Spotify or Google Podcast or Apple Podcast, you just look it up on there.
Okay.
And Facebook.
Yeah. I can't think of anything else, Terry. Can you?
Fine. No. If you think of something, let me know.
Okay. I want to get some pictures. I've got something kind of in my mind.
All right.
Let me get this thing.
You want all my contact information?
Yeah, sure. Are you on an iPhone? Yeah, you are.
Yes, sir.
If you can airdrop it to, should come up as Andrew's iPhone.
Did it pop up on the top of your?
Yeah.
Just touch it.
Okay. I've never done that before.
No, it's because of this thing.
Oh, okay.
It's like a digital business card.
Oh, okay.
It's called a Popple. If you want me to airdrop it, I can do that as well.
Either way, I've got it.
Airdrop. Here it comes.
No, I'm just going to bookmark this. I'm going to go find and see if I can find somebody, or if you want to pop into that class, if there's someone we can use as an interviewee.
Sure.
Just to shoot you with, yep, with them from behind.
Can do. Nomad Mobile Productions is a broadcasting and media production company that produces podcasts and provides a mobile podcast studio complete with audio and video recording equipment. We also offer post-production processing, editing, marketing, and publication for podcasts. Our mobile production studio will come to you. Visit our webpage, nomadmobileproductions.com, or our Facebook,